This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.
Hey, it's Steve, and hello from the turquoise carpet and the opening ceremony of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. All 40 countries are expected here at the Regia di Venaria, which is a former royal palace on the outskirts of Turin. It is truly stunning. It's a beautiful location. The building looks sumptuous. We're surrounded by the Alps and the gardens are perfectly manicured. And then I am walking down this really long turquoise carpet where all the acts will stop and chat to fans and press and whoever else wants to have a little bit of a chat with them. Now, as you know, I've only got a few more countries to get on the podcast. There's a couple of interviews I've got to play to you. And the final few I will hopefully be speaking to today. So let's get to it. First up today is a guy who's got such an infectious smile. It is Sam Ryder representing the United Kingdom with Spaceman. You don't need me to tell you that it's been a while since the UK got onto the left-hand side of the scoreboard. And it was way back in 2009 that Jade Ewan got a top five placing for the country. Sam is hoping to change that. By now, you'll know that he rose to fame during the pandemic when videos of him singing in his house went viral on TikTok. It was just him, his voice, with a little green lamp in the background for company. And now he's on the Eurovision stage. I caught up with him and we decided to do the interview in the blistering Turin sun, forgetting that we are both pale guys with ginger beards who need Factor 50 sun cream. Sam Ryder, representing the United Kingdom, we've caught you after your second rehearsal, after you've pulled the second half of the draw. How are you feeling?
I feel fantastic, and I can see by both of our complexion that we are already struggling.
We are both
being in the natural sunlight for about 10 seconds. Jumper was a bad choice.
But it's the first sun you've seen in Turin.
Oh, it's so lovely. It changes everything, doesn't it? Just a little bit of, like, I don't know, solar power.
You just got taught a little bit of Italian. Can you remember what it was?
Grazie tante.
And what does that mean?
Thank you so much.
And you've been saying that a lot, right?
Yes, absolutely. In my head the whole time, like, Steve, honestly. Like, last night I was going to sleep just realising that it's not just about the 3 minutes on the stage at the end. It's this entire experience that you get to enjoy and, like, relish. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure everyone that's done Eurovision in the past and everyone this year and going forward, it will be something that they chat about with their friends and family forever until they're old and grey. Do you know what I mean? So you want to just enjoy every moment.
So listen, we finally got to see the prop, the biggest prop, and you're in the middle of it. It's kind of an LED light-up spaceship. Everyone's seen it now. Yeah. How did you feel that first time you stepped on the stage in it?
I just wanted to feel like I was in, like, Prometheus or some sci-fi, because I'm, like, a massive sci-fi head, so it was important for me to, like, just... First of all, someone's paying cash to make it, so I want to enjoy it. And it's just such a cool experience, man, to step out there and see something like that. And for me, that feels like you're not on the stage on your own, because around you is literally the blood, sweat and tears and efforts of all of the team that are with you. You can see it in front of your eyes. And that's really cool, I think.
How much of you has gone into that performance, by the way?
Since we said yes to it, we got on a Zoom and we chatted through every fine detail. The outfits, the staging, the points where we're using smoke, like fans, like the choice not to use pyro or anything like that. Also, a lot, it's a massive team effort. The whole thing, like this, you can be fooled into thinking that each, like, entrant is sort of like it begins and ends there. It is vast, man. It's like everyone is so crucial to the workings of this thing, and even keeping it positive and keeping the energy good. You've got to have good people around you and kind people, and yeah, it makes the whole thing a blessing.
I think you need to give other people a bit of your positive energy. How do you do it, like, all the time? How do you keep so up?
Maybe Stevie Wonder helps, like, listening to Stevie Wonder all the time. Like, literally the embodiment of that guy is love, kindness, empathy, and just, oh, mate,
happiness.
God, a different level. Yeah, happiness. And there's a lot to be thankful for, I think.
Every amazing Eurovision performance ends in a crescendo, doesn't it? And you obviously had that in mind too.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I, at the very beginning, like, when, you know, Spaceman, I knew the 3 minute rule and I was like beavering away on my computer trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do, like, for that, like, final moment? We owe it, like, the UK have so many passionate Eurovision fans. We owe it to those people to like do the best job we can. I know, like as a fan, I know what it is. I feel like I know what it is that's needed.
Is it hard to soak it all in?
The danger is soaking too much of it in. And like, I know that probably goes against everything that I've said before. So let me explain. It's like, you know, sometimes when you're upset, you listen to sad music and look out a window when it's raining or something like that, because you want to picture yourself in a movie. Like, this is my moment. You've got to watch out for doing that, because if you're on a stage and like you've got the first note coming, your first word in my like song, it's like, if I was an astronaut, if I stand on that stage and thoughts in my head like, this is it, man, this is the biggest thing you're gonna, as soon as that happens, you're like, hey,
get out of your head now.
Yeah, you can't like romanticize it. That's the word I'm looking for. You've got to live and breathe it, but don't try and like put in magic that isn't there when it's not needed. It's already just there and then and in that moment.
Is your little green lamp missing you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, the actual green lamp is a health hazard. It will kill you if you touch it. It like electric shocks you. So I bring around like a replica, like if we're doing shows and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's so cool, that thing, because it kind of became an unofficial mascot. And for me, thinking back, it's like a kind of a symbol of just shining your light. And all of us like should do that, I think. All of us have got a little bit of light in us, and we're better off. The world's better off when you share it, hopefully.
I've been asking a lot of people this. Do you have a little pre-onstage ritual that you do? Or is there anything that you do that's like a little good luck charm or like a talisman? Like, is there anything that you do that kind of gets you in the space?
You just sort of, for me anyway, like, just take a breath and say your thank yous. Do you know what I mean? Like, and like really try and be present and put yourself in that very moment. And again, like, don't romanticize it too much. Just be grateful. And come back to that gratitude.
I think someone should
warm up and drink ginger tea.
Yeah, obviously. Ginger tea. You are the king of ginger tea.
Oh, mate, yeah, I can make anyone a good like ginger tea here. I tell you, if they need it, let me know.
And I think we should just let people that we're doing the podcast, so people can't see it. We are in the most glamorous location in the whole arena. We're next to the loos.
Next to the bins and the toilets. Absolute standard, isn't it? It's the most like glamorous event of the year. And the two palest blokes are standing out by the bins and the toilets, getting sunburnt.
Brilliant. Where's my factor 50? Come on. Oh, good luck, Sam.
Give me some lead to put on me.
Good luck, Sam. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much, mate. You're an absolute sweetheart. Come here.
Oh, I got a Sam Ryder hug.
If you want the latest episode of the Eurovision Song Contest podcast as soon as it drops, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam has been drawn in the second half of the grand final. The rest of the big five are all in the first half. And before the episode is out, we're going to be hearing from the two guys behind Sam's huge spaceship prop. Just a few more countries to get on the podcast now, and some are being a little trickier than others. But we did get a little bit of time with one country who was very helpful indeed. It was Croatia, who were being represented by Mia Dimčić with the song Guilty Pleasure. And it was Rob Lilly who caught up with her.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. How are things going?
It's so nice. I'm enjoying my time here. I'm enjoying every second. From the morning I wake up and start organizing stuff, two meetings with my delegation, then coming here, meeting all the other artists, meeting the press. I just love it. I love the atmosphere and the dynamics of it.
Have you had a favorite meal so far? Have you found a restaurant that's already kind of gone to the top of your list?
So I had spritz and pizza was really nice. Like, it was really crusty and juicy, and it was perfect. So I would maybe say that's a really good combo. I am not as disciplined when it comes to food and drinks, especially when you are a tourist as well as a performer. You have to indulge.
Can we talk a little bit about the message of the song? Of course, the song is called Guilty Pleasure. Everybody thinks they know what the song's about, but what's the song actually about?
The song is about a little fantasy and a dream that kept reappearing and someone coming to you in your dreams, then leaving with the first light of day. So, yeah, a lot of people thought it was a song about cheating. Which I guess it is if they interpret it that way. I really want to allow it for everyone's interpretation. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way to even listen to it. So, yeah, but for me, it was a fantasy. I started feeling guilty. And then I said to myself, what the heck? I'm not going to feel guilty because I'm human and I feel drawn to different people. And why wouldn't I? People are amazing. There are so many amazing human beings around us. It's really hard to even pick one. So, you know, it was like just the thoughts, random thoughts that caused the frustration, and I wrote a song.
But impressive that you managed to turn a dream like that into a song that you're now performing at the Eurovision Song Contest?
If I knew what I was doing at that moment, like, believe me, I wouldn't be able to finish the song. Like, if someone told me, like, that's the song, if someone even told me you're going to represent your country in Eurovision, I'd be like, okay, no, you know, just a year ago, I wouldn't be able to believe this, especially not with that song. So it's amazing how life works. Life is a miracle.
Albina, last year's Croatian entry, was, of course, a huge favorite among the Eurovision community. Have you been able to speak to her? Has she given you any advice before coming here?
Definitely. I talked to her a couple of times and she was there, like, to give me the statue. So Albina is amazing. And she just said, like, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. That was the main message. And, like, whoever I talked to, everyone said enjoy. So I guess that's the theme. And I'm trying to do that.
How are you relaxing here in Turin? Because we know, as an artist, it is such a busy schedule. There are so many things you've got to do. But when you go back to the hotel, what are you able to do?
I'm trying to meditate at least a little bit because it helps me stay focused and just calm and helps me find happiness and gratitude for this moment. And I think that's the most important part, just being happy as much as I can, because this experience is going to fly by so fast and I want it to be memorable.
Mia, enjoy the whole experience and thank you so much for chatting and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much to Mia. And on to Nadia. See what I did there? Too cheesy, isn't it? Sorry about the rhyming. But yeah, we're on to Nadia Rustamli, who is representing Azerbaijan this year with Fade to Black. They've had a pretty good track record in Eurovision. And remember, they won in 2011 and it took them to Baku the following year. Again, Rob Lilly had a little chat with him. And just to warn you, while they were doing this interview, Sam Ryder was practicing his vocals in the background. So you do hear a little bit of Sam. And because Nadia doesn't understand too much English, you are going to hear from a translator as well.
Nadia, welcome to the official Eurovision podcast.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to see you.
What's it like being here finally in Turin and representing your country at the Eurovision Song Contest?
Çok güzel bir histi.
One year ago when I was watching the Eurovision finals and Italy became the winner, which I really was excited about because I think it's 100% it was deserving it, the country was deserving it. So a year ago I wouldn't even think that this year I'd be here and would represent my country. But when The Voice started and people all over the internet, like in Azerbaijan, they were commenting everywhere, telling each other, like, Nadir should be representing Azerbaijan this year. Obviously, that was very inspiring. And here he is.
Ben buradayım, indeed. Bu çok güzel bir işte.
Talk to me about The Voice of Azerbaijan. Of course, you won that competition. You won it while being coached by Azerbaijan's Eurovision winner, Eldar. What was it like being on the show, and what was it like to win that? And I know you did a couple of Eurovision songs and a duet of Running Scared in the final.
Finalda Eurovision mahnısını okuduk. Eldar Gimler'e galiba.
The show was a very good, great thing to participate in. And coming, I mean, he has sang lots of Eurovision songs on the stage because these are great songs. And one of them was Turkey's entry, Manga, We Could Be the Same. Then there was Arcade, two entries by Azerbaijan. So one he sang finally with Eldar, and the other one was Day After Day, the song with which everything started for Azerbaijan. It's our first entry. It was a great experience to sing there. And also, he sang the Måneskin's version of Begin, and it was a huge success every single time. By the way, he opens a live stream or whatever, people are like, "Can you sing Begin? Can you sing Begin?" They love this version. So, greetings to Måneskin from here.
Eldar was, of course, your coach on The Voice. He saw you go on to win that competition. How nice is it for you to have him with you here in Turin as well, and have his support?
It's amazing to have Eldar by my side here. That's what he said. He doesn't allow me to fade to black. Yeah, so he was very happy to receive the news that Eldar already landed at the airport. That this is one of the best news I've received so far, like within this couple of days, because he's helping mentally, he's helping from a musical perspective. Overall, his support is great, and it means a lot to Nadir.
You were one of the last or the last song revealed for Eurovision 2022. Are you pleased to have built up the anticipation for Fade to Black this year?
Well, I'm that kind of person who loves keeping people waiting, you know, intrigued and looking forward, excited. So yeah, I was more than excited that my song is going to be the last one, the cherry on the top. And also, it was really nice to see that not only people from Azerbaijan, but outside of the country, all the Eurovision fans are waiting for what's going to be. What kind of song is it going to be? And they were guessing, and that kind of, yeah, inspired.
Nadir, thank you so much for talking to us, and all the best. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was so glad. It was so nice to speak with you. Speak to you. Yeah.
There are two more countries to get on this podcast: Greece and Italy. And I'm very pleased to say that I've tracked down Amanda Gagiadis Tenfjord, who is representing Greece with her song Die Together. She's here on the turquoise carpet in a beautiful pink dress.
Hello, I'm Amanda Gagiadis Tenfjord from Greece.
Can you just explain the mayhem? Because this is a podcast, so people can't see literally what's around us.
Mayhem is a new word for me. What does mayhem mean?
Chaos, craziness. Okay.
Well, this is a very new experience to me. It's a lot of people going on here, a lot of fans, which is amazing, a lot of photographers, a lot of very nice dressed people, yeah, and sun. It's sunny.
And you've just been posing with the Norwegian wolves. How was that?
Yes. Well, since I'm half Norwegian, it was obviously there. I know them from before, and they're amazing, so that was very nice, yeah.
Had you met them before?
Yes, I was in the Norwegian final when they won, so yeah.
How has your experience been so far? Rehearsals? Tell us about the amazing blue chairs on stage.
Yeah, rehearsals have been good. I'm very happy. Just like very small changes that have been done. Everything has gone very smoothly. And the blue chairs, yeah, that was Fokas' idea. Amazing Fokas, Evangelinos. And I love them. I think they give amazing texture in the frames, and also they're like melting, which is like symbolizing something ending. So I think, yeah, I love them.
They're really beautiful.
Thank you.
Your music video, where was that filmed? Because that looked gorgeous.
Thank you. It was filmed in Symi, which is a Greek island. Yes, a wonderful island. You should go there. It's like a small, small island, and the architecture is so special, and the people are so nice. Yeah, amazing.
What's been the most surreal moment of Eurovision so far since you've been here?
Just being in the arena and just experiencing the whole, like, going on the stage and everything, like, before. I know, like, the organization and going on, like, I think going on stage probably, just, like, seeing the whole, because it's kind of huge, you know. So I just, maybe just seeing the ideas that we had for, like, a long time actually happening and becoming as we imagine, yeah.
Because it's probably been months and months of planning, right? How much planning has gone into your performance?
Well, first, I wrote the song about a year ago, not knowing it was for Eurovision, so I wrote it for my album. And then it got picked for Eurovision. And then, of course, we worked a lot on the production, like several months, to make it like as perfect as we could. Like every detail, we did the vocals a lot of times to catch the right feeling. And then, like, all the planning with the stage together with Fokas was went very smoothly, because he's amazing and he saw me as an artist and how I wanted to be as well. So it's been a lovely collaboration.
Collaboration.
Collaboration. And but it's been a long time, and like sometimes you work so long with something, and in the end you're like, is this any good? You're like, is this gonna be good? But you kind of have to just trust your first gut feeling that said, okay, this is nice, and then go for it, I guess.
You have to have instinct, you know what I mean? You have to, after months of planning, you've got to hold your head up high and go, yeah, this is really good.
Yeah.
And then you've got your team. Also, what's nice with you, you've got one foot in Greece and the other foot in Norway, so you've got dual support from one end of Europe to the other. It's so nice.
I think it's amazing. And I've gotten so much love from both Norway and Greece, and that's been amazing. Yeah, people are very supportive.
I've asked this question so many times. Have you seen those wolves without their masks?
I have, but I cannot tell you anything.
Have you got an NDA as well? Non-disclosure agreement.
I will get killed.
Amanda, thank you so much. Finally, we made
it. So amazing to talk to you.
One more country to go. One more. You know who that is? Italy. Hopefully, before the day is out. Hopefully. Now, when most people talk about Eurovision, they talk about the props and the staging. It's so important to every artist that appears. And it was celebrated so iconically, I think, in Love, Love, Peace, Peace, which was the interval act in 2016. You know, when the hamster wheel was on the stage. One of my favourite props ever was that white magician's wardrobe thing from Moldova in 2018. Remember Dorados? Well, this year, we've got blue dripping chairs for Greece. We've got a giant disco ball for LPS. And, of course, we've got the mechanical bull called Roberta for Achille Lauro for San Marino. And two guys are heavily involved with the staging this year for a number of countries. They're called Dan Shipton and Marvin Dietman. And they are looking after six of this year's acts. So it's the United Kingdom, Austria, Israel, Germany, Cyprus and Armenia. All very different, all very impressive. So let's hear from them.
You can follow the Eurovision Song Contest on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter and online at eurovision.tv.
I'm Dan Shipton.
Marvin Dietman.
We are artistic creative directors for six countries this year. The thing for us is it's all about trying to find an identity for that country, making them different and making them stand out from anything else that's possible.
So this year, let's go with the UK, because we just heard from Sam Ryder. He's got the largest prop this year. Like, where do you even start with deciding to get something like that?
I mean, it's always the artist and the song where you have to start in, have to look in, have to feel it, and then it's just building up something, and that's the base. And that's why all of these countries as well are just so different, because the artist and the song gives you just a base where you just can't go wrong.
You come up with an idea and you allow yourself to think big, you allow yourself to think creatively, and then at some point you go, okay, now we've got to actually achieve this. And you have so many rules with Eurovision. You know, it's one thing when we're doing another show where we completely control it, but actually here you have those rules of 40 seconds to get it on stage. You have those rules of it's got to be under a certain height to be able to fit through the door, and all those things actually mean that we can do it. And so, for example, with Sam this year, the only way that we could persuade them to let us do a 6 meter high prop, which it is to work out how the whole thing folds down to under 3 meters, which allows us to roll it on and off stage. And only by doing that did the host broadcasters allow us to say, okay, we'll go for it.
Austria's got a big prop as well this year.
They have a big halo, and actually all the individual lights in there, the product name of them is a halo light, so actually that's kind of fitting.
So I guess you both understand you can go big, you can go small, it doesn't really matter. Like, big is not always better.
No, absolutely not. And I know we say that with a bit of irony, considering all our props this year are so big, but nevertheless, when you look at someone, say, like France last year, she had one backlight, but she redefined the space. There was a lot of black in the picture, and she really sold that. So it's not about having big props. It's about having the thing, the idea, the concept that really suits the artist. And if that is a big prop, like Sam's, like all our props this year, then great, cool, that works. But if it isn't that, it's also fine. Surely if you don't think big, then you don't have anywhere to go through. If we told you the original idea for Sam, which is the version we have right now, is very similar, but there were other elements into it that we were pushing boundaries for, but actually probably would have devalued from his amazing performance. And actually, I always feel like you think big and you throw everything into the saucepan, but actually there's this simmer down effect where you simmer everything down and it makes the taste way sweeter and the look way sweeter. So you work these big ideas, but actually what is left after a few weeks of thinking about the idea is the key elements.
Let's talk about some of your other countries. So Cyprus. where was the concept for that?
A lot of ethnical elements in there, very traditional elements in the song. She's singing Greek as well. So there we ended up on a shell, or in a shell actually, which really actually fits very well to this year's stage with this waterfall. So all our elements which we are projecting onto the shell is kind of watery based. And that goes actually into the LED flow and into the real waterfall. So it really also melts very, very good together.
Germany is quite a, it's kind of the opposite of Sam almost. It's a very introspective performance.
We want to literally give him his studio on stage. That is the concept, and it is actually true to that picture. And this idea of using, I think we use, up until the very final chorus, we use four cameras. And just to have this idea of this rotation and this feeling that he's taking a walk with you and explaining his feelings. And it feels very different because we're so used to these hard, quick cuts that you get on Eurovision. So again, what can we do with other elements that we control, like cameras, to translate a different story and a different emotional connection?
You're also doing Armenia, which is ending semi-final one, and that is a big set. So she's in essentially her house and there's loads of paper on the wall. She kind of rips panels off to reveal little parts of the song.
She was talking to us in one of the first conversation which we had, and we asking her, okay, how did that song came together, and what where have been the your kind of initial thoughts of it? And she said, oh, you know, it was actually her bedroom that she was sitting in, and there's so many thoughts and so many ideas which are coming up when you're writing songs, that is like papers, like post-its, which you write down something and then they're falling somehow in place. And we was thinking, okay, why not asking her for pictures from her bedroom and create something like an environment for her where these post-its are all around her. In our case, they are white and they are unwritten, but if as often as it is, if you work on it, then they're appearing, and that's what we're doing in the whole staging as well, where she's kind of revealing them as they're coming up in her mind, as she's saying it, she's singing the lyrics as well, which she literally revealing. So it just somehow blends together. When for a sudden at the end, it just opens up, and therefore when we turn to prop, she's standing in actually a new world, and which it might be the finished song. So it just clicked very well.
That's not real paper, is it?
No, it has to be fireproof, so it's actually fabric.
Fabric, of course, but it looks very, very authentic. And finally, you've also done Israel.
I mean, we just had to make Michael the star of the show there. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. But again, how are we going to redefine that stage? So for us, we wanted to use the LED floor, and we were trying to find LED in the space. There is a lack of LED on that stage. But actually, as soon as we go into a top shot, we have a huge slab of LED. So this idea of redefining the space, working in catwalks, it's very linear and very specific to the choreography, doing really beautiful choreography that's really hot, that matches the graphics, suddenly takes us into another dimension. And of course we add lighting to that, but him at the star of the show, at the center of all that, is a really beautiful, cool picture, and hopefully feels very different to other countries.
You've obviously watched a lot of Eurovision. What's some of your favorite staging that's not been done by you in previous Eurovisions?
I'm going to take Loreen. Like, obviously, I mean, I feel like she is the Eurovision queen and the classic. What I love about that staging is when you dissect it, and people remember it in very different ways, you would expect for an absolute club banger like that to be in wide shots, to be in big lighting moments. But actually, we very rarely go wider than a full shot on Loreen. There's no lighting movement. There's no wide shots. You don't see the audience. It's the total antithesis of what you would expect to do for that song. And for me, I find it so inspiring. And she's at the heart the picture. And actually, if I think about it, they don't even put much key light on her face. You don't even see her eyes. And if one more client says to me, oh, but we need the eyes for connection, you clearly don't, because she's, even if we did put light on her face, her fringe was so massive, you wouldn't even see it anyway. That staging for me was just the sweet spot of like how to redefine a performance just by doing something different.
You can follow the Eurovision Song Contest on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and online at eurovision.tv.
So I'm going to keep this simple. One more country to go. The final act of all 40 to feature on this podcast. The last country to walk down the carpet today. Two Italian superstars, Mahmoud and Blanco, singing Brividi this year. And I'm so pleased to say that I got a couple of minutes with them earlier because they are in demand. Federica is going to translate for Blanco. Blanco and Mahmoud, the opening ceremony for Eurovision. It's in Italy. How does it feel having Eurovision in your home country?
Great, super great. We are feeling like we are at home, you know, because the people here is giving us so much energy and so much love. So we are super happy.
Just tell people like the beauty around us. Like this is a stunning location.
I've never been here, you know, so it's my first time here in this location and it's amazing. Also inside there are a lot of big saloon and seems like a museum.
Blanco, it's your first Eurovision. Mahmoud has been here once before. How does it feel to be taking part?
It is a great opportunity for me to be here. I really want to thank everybody for making this happen, and I'm very proud of being here with Alessandro Mahmoud as well.
Have you been giving him tips on how to survive the Eurovision experience?
No tips, because every time is also different for me, you know. It's a different situation. Now I'm singing with him and he's not like singing alone, you know, he's always different.
After you won Sanremo, you get the choice of whether to do Eurovision or not, and you said yes. So what made you want to do it again?
This, all this, because also the stage, we did our first rehearsal on the stage and it gave us a lot of energy because it's quite magical for us, the stage.
Blanco, what does brevity mean to you? Like, what do you want to get across with your song?
Vogliamo trasmettere un messaggio universale di amore. Much love, universal love,
yeah,
and freedom.
We want to really convey the message with brevity that the most important thing is universal love and freedom.
Lots of love, lots of freedom. And the two of you together, as a friendship, as a collaboration, what do you think makes it so special?
But I don't know, because every time that we perform on stage, you know, it's like something is a beginning for us, you know, and so I can answer to this question because I hope that for our last exhibition will be like a new experience for us.
And what makes this connection so special?
Forse che comunque con Ale riesco a essere sempre me stesso.
The most important thing is that with Alessandro I really feel that I can be myself, express myself, and that freedom of being myself make us really united and a great team together.
Thank you to Mahmoud and Blanco for that interview on the turquoise carpet here at the opening ceremony of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm joined by my friend Samia Hafsawi. Samia, I am tired.
Yeah, it's been a day. Really fun, but a day.
It's been amazing to see all of the acts this year walk the carpet, literally all of them. And you know what that interview with Mahmoud and Blanco means? All 40 artists have now been on the podcast.
Woo! That's amazing.
Yeah, I can't believe it. We're here. We're done. We've done all 40. And that feels good because, you know, it's the opening ceremony. Things can really get going now.
It does feel like Eurovision has officially begun because this is the first time you see that many fans and how they react to all of the artists. They want to get a selfie with everybody. They do sing their song already to them. So that's like a precursor to what we're going to experience in the arena when everyone's like yelling and shouting and so chuffed to be there.
We've both been on this carpet. You've been doing bits for Eurovision Backstage on the official Eurovision YouTube channel. Let's talk about the weather today.
It was really humid and sunny, and then like a storm happened.
A literal storm.
And then the carpet got all muddy and stuff. And, well, when we got here, it was already like they put special plastic over the carpet to protect it, and that looked really grimy. And then they took it over, and that was really nice, but then the storm ruined it. And then it was the nicest, like perfect kind of chilly, cloudy weather, which is amazing for us, for the cameras, and also really nice for the artists because they're wearing these massive gowns and suits that can weigh really heavily and can really be sweaty.
So I think we should talk about Sheldon Riley with his gigantic white cape gown, which was amazing. There was room for about 10 people in that.
And we also had Chanel with that beautiful red train.
We had Sam Ryder dressed as a spaceman today in a glittering silver jumpsuit. I love Jeremy from Belgium's energy with his dancers. He walks the carpet with his dancers, yes, and they have such a tight energy together, don't they?
Same as Brooke. It's really nice to see these artists, and also Maru as well. She has all of her singers with her. They're also on stage. It's great to see these artists involve their entire team, be it their delegation members, but also like their performers, because it's really important for us also to get to know them, because they too carry those performances on stage.
Who did you have a nice chat with today?
Everybody.
Everyone was really nice.
Well, what's really, really funny is that Pia Maria was like, it's really nice to tell people I'm not a hologram.
Yeah, this has been doing the rounds, hasn't it? People think she's a hologram. No, I've seen her with my own eyes.
And then so they got to poke her on the shoulder and be like, you're real.
You're real. Pia Maria, you're real. The Subwoofer gang were doing their dance about, I don't know, 100 times.
Latvia singing as always. Some Moldovan music on the carpet live. I really like it.
I saw Kalush Orchestra talking to most people, because obviously people want to find out about their story and talk about how they made it to Eurovision representing Ukraine, which was really nice to see. The camaraderie between the delegations is genuinely lovely.
Yes, and our Kalush Orchestra also gave everyone a pink hat with Kalush Orchestra on it, and I have it, and I'm really proud of it.
It's their trademark. It's Oleg's trademark.
I love it so much.
We're obviously in Italy, and they were going crazy for Achille Lauro.
He is a superstar here, and he looked really... Well, I half expected him, because his stage outfit is, like, very, very out there. It's really, like, not your traditional Italian suit, but he looked really slick and well put together in the suit on this carpet. And, like, Roy said to me, like, he looks very Italian, very put together.
He was very, like, he is a superstar, like you said. Like,
people were screaming for him, and he's also really, like, he gently took one of the cameras from one of the audience members, and he filmed everyone. Like, he did a superstar run, and then he was like, please give everyone the footage, because I don't have time to, like, take all of your phones. That was a really smart move.
It is a smart move.
Yeah, just, like, grab one phone and then do a little run, and then just say, like, hey, would you mind sorting it out amongst yourself? And that was really nice.
That is resourceful and economical.
Literally.
Also, Mahmoud and Blanco taking the time to talk to all their fans, get loads of photos, because let's not forget, those two are superstars here in Italy.
Individually and especially together, you can just see how chuffed everyone is that they're there. And it's really nice because it's these two people that match each other's energy also really, really well. So I'm really happy. It's always so difficult kind of to see, like, one superstar and then the other person kind of being like, oh, you clearly want to talk to them instead of me. But Mahmoud and Blanco equally just, like, blow off the roof, don't they?
So how tired are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Like -5 Parmesan sticks.
I want a Parmesan stick and a bruschetta and a pizza and a bowl of pasta and maybe something else.
Well, that's all here, so that's really nice.
So the end of the carpet, and I just want to take a moment to look around us, because we've got the mountains, we're at this royal palace. It really is a special location.
Italy is absolutely stunning. Like, it really is. And I'm from a country below sea level, so I'm not used to having... Well, unless I go back home to Morocco. But it's absolutely beautiful. And just to see the sun going down on the carpet, kind of going with our vibe of the sun going down, or on our energy as well. It is, again, such a privilege to be here as always.
Sami Hafsaoui, you know what? It's happening. You know what is happening very soon?
Yes, we are going to find the cheese bar.
Yes!
Cheese bar!
This is the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast from Turin.